are that.
Yes, we are.
And we're both dressed up today because we're going to see our producer, Beth
Swerk,
our former producer, and she always dresses so well.
She
has like a fashion flair.
Even when she's casual, Beth is totally together.
Right.
So, I didn't even think of that. You dressed for Beth. You're more.
I did.
Yeah, I'm pretty casual. I don't have any major jewelry on or anything. Beth's always got great jewelry.
I have a scarf.
Yeah, we're going to see Beth and Jenny X, so that'll be fun for lunch.
First thing that I just want to say is we, of course, are aware of the death of Muhammad Ali. This isn't really the show, I don't think, where we would... I don't know how big a figure he was in some of your lives. I know he was, but for most of us, we probably weren't boxing fans. And what I'd like to direct you to is Veronica used a cut from an interview with Roy Leonard did with Muhammad Ali in 1977, and you can hear the entirety of that interview on WGNradio.com. It's on the front page. So if you would like to listen to that, it's there for you. The second thing I want to bring up is I posted something on the Kathy and Judy page, which is a story in the paper with pictures about the whole Bible that now includes emojis.
I'm not sure you did, hon. I don't see it on the page.
Don't tell me that, really.
No, I don't see it on the page. But you could probably look it up. You could probably Google Bible with emojis.
Right.
Right.
And I would go to New York Times is the one that wrote it. I don't know how many other papers wrote about it.
Right.
And was just seeking your opinion. How could that be? Why did my sending something to you get all garbled? It was a straight Word doc.
I have no... you did it zip. You zipped it. I don't know.
I zipped it? It was just two pages.
No, it was a zip file. Yeah.
I don't even know how to do that.
So
I've wondered how.
If you can't understand the Bible without having emojis next to
it,
check it out.
Instead of the word God, there's like an emoji face with a halo above it.
Right.
So it goes, and picture of
God.
Who's supposed to be God,
right.
Said, let there be, and then there's a light bulb. All right. Go find the story, please. Or if David has time at some point, maybe during a break, he'll put it up on our Kathy and Judy. Oh, he doesn't have access.
I can do it.
Okay.
I can see if I can find
David
it.
Is sitting in for us today.
Right.
For Kristen. And ruminate on it. Just, you know, put your reactions and why up on the Facebook page, and we'll have a Facebook discussion
about
it. All
right, we'll take care of that. And speaking of news, I would like to do the Kathy and Judy take on the kid falling into the gorilla cage, which there was so much upset about this week. And so much criticism of a mother whose four-year-old got away from her. I would like you to call us with your stories of when your kid got away from you. And how long they were gone, and how you finally found them.
Did you
because,
have that happen?
I think there were a couple times when I thought, oh, crap, you truly turn away for a couple seconds. And unless you're holding their hand, they're gone. So 312-981-7200, we're not going to talk about the mom in this case. I totally understand that a four-year-old can get away from you. And this was a really curious kid who managed to circumvent every security barrier they had. And the kid is fine. The gorilla is still dead. And I also find there was an interesting take on that. Somebody had posted, unless you're a vegan, hold your craziness about shooting a gorilla. Because the bacon that you're eating and the beef that you're eating, they also got killed. So it's...
Oh, are you harsh?
I know. 312-981-7200.
I never lost a kid.
You never lost a kid?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Mm-mm.
There's a great sculpture at the south end of Grant Park, and it is legs. They are about, I want to say 9 feet tall, something like that. And my understanding was that the sculptor was trying to show, because you can walk in among all these legs and feet, was trying to show what it's like to be a child when everybody else, when all you can see is their legs. And I once heard that if your kid gets away from you, people stand up and they're looking around, where that the smartest thing to do is drop down to your knees. Drop down to the level that your kid would be at. And then you're going to be more likely to see a little kid in among the legs. But we want to hear your stories.
While getting stepped on by other full adults.
We want to hear your stories about the time that even though you loved them and cared for them and supervised them and felt like you watched them every second, when your toddler got away from you. Kids are all right, except when you lose your kid. We're talking about the sad story about the Harambe, the gorilla that was shot because a kid got into his enclosure. And there, you know, people are so ready to criticize parents. Well, what's wrong with that mother? Well, we have plenty of mothers and fathers on our lines who are happy to tell us how they lost their kids.
And think
and
Home
where.
Alone. That's also a good one.
Yeah. This is Joan. Hi, Joan.
Good morning.
Where did you lose your child?
Well, believe it or not, in the Montmartre area in Paris.
Uh-huh. How old?
We were 2 years old.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I was there with my husband and my two-year-old and my three-year-old, and we thought each other had him, and neither of us had him. And we had put a tag on them, like an army tag, so in case they got lost, they'd know they were Americans and get them to the American consulate. And so we're just going around, and then all of a sudden, there he is sitting on a bench with a little grandma with her arm around him, just keeping him in one place, but scary.
How long was he missing?
Oh, gosh, probably not more than 15, 20 minutes.
Now, that's a long time. That's a lifetime when your little one is missing. So
and
you
right. Oh, we didn't speak French, so we couldn't, you know, ask too many people.
Right, right. So you're probably not inclined to be one of those who criticize the mother whose kid got away from her.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, Joan, thanks.
You bet.
Okay.
Never mind.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going
to
say, I want to talk to Georgette.
All right, here she is. Hi, Georgette.
Hi, how are you?
All right, what did you do? How'd you lose your kid?
Well, we were at Disney World on spring break, and he was almost 3 years old. I walked him up one of the kiddie slides. I watched him go up the ladder, and then I ran to the front to catch him to go down the slide. Well, apparently, I was just too slow because I waited and waited. I felt three, and I'm like, you know, there wasn't that long of a line. And then I realized my stomach started burning, and I had this sinking feeling. Okay, my son's gone, and I looked like a frantic mother.
as you were.
My husband, I believe, was there, and we just started looking frantically, and in real time it might have been about 10 minutes, but it felt like hours. And then there was just such a relief when I saw this tall, slender lifeguard holding the red life preserver and my son in the other, you know, holding his hand with the other hand, and it was just such a relief. And I could cry now thinking about it, but
horrifying.
That's how I lost my baby at Typhoon.
Can you imagine in Disney how many kids are lost a day?
Oh, I can't. Yeah,
I'm sure there's like 20.
It happens to everybody else, but it never happens to me.
There you go.
Only it did.
There you go.
Right.
Thanks, Georgette. 312-981-7200 is our number. You can call us or you can text us. And we're just asking you, as a follow-up to the story about the gorilla and the child who managed to get into the enclosure,
your kid.
Let's not be critical of that mom. It happens. In fact, you can hear her on the video going, Mommy's here. Stay calm. And what's your story about where you lost your kid? Helen, where'd you lose your kid?
I am out walking. I'm 88. I'm out for my 2 mile walk every day.
Good for you. And my daughter
reminded me not to be too critical on judging other people, because she reminded me when our youngest of our seven children we left him at mass.
Your youngest seven child.
Wait a minute. The whole family got back in the car.
Yes.
And how far did you go before you realized he was still at church?
We got home. We wondered where our youngest son was.
Okay.
And how old was he when he was at that point?
He was 4 or 5. I don't remember exactly.
Uh-huh.
And so quickly we got back in the car and went back to church, and the nuns had him.
There you go. There you go.
My daughter said, watch before you judge.
You're right. She's right. Helen, yeah. we are in awe of you at 88, walking
thank
2 miles a day.
We listen to you every summer when we get back from Florida. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. 312-981-7200. This is Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hello.
What's your story?
It's not where I lost my kid, but my parents lost me and my cousin Tony Marie one day at Disneyland.
See, again, like 6 calls or Disney.
Yeah, we decided that we didn't want to stay with them anymore, so we took off. We were about maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah,
Went up on the train or tram, whatever they call that thing, where you look down and it goes across the park.
Oh, the tram.
The tram. We're looking down and we see our parents and we wave to them and this and that. And all of a sudden they look up and they're pointing. All right. And my dad and my uncle had the worst look on their face. They met us at the end of the ride, took us downstairs, told both of us to bend over, and gave us a swift kick in the behind.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
we scared them pretty good. My cousin Tony Marie and I were, we were thick as thieves.
Well, it obviously didn't have any.
I bet it was Tony Marie's idea the whole time.
I'll bet it was. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, here's a scary place to lose a kid. Nancy, where?
Hi.
Hi. How old were the kids?
Well, it was my 4-year-old. We were at Grant Park July the 3rd, 24 years ago, for fireworks, and there were hundreds of thousands of people there listening to the symphony and enjoying the night. So he was 4. He went to use the bathroom that was just beside us, and he never came back. And my husband stood up and was growing frantic, and he had watched him, and then he disappeared. And when I heard you talk about getting on your knees to find a young child, I had happened to take my 3-year-old niece to the bathroom, and she spotted him talking to a police officer on horseback. And he was asking that policeman to take him back to Buckingham Fountain, where he had gone to get ice cream earlier in the day with his older siblings. And he knew he could make it back to our spot if he was taken to Buckingham Fountain.
Wow.
And we actually were camped at Monroe Street. So that would have been quite a distance with all of those people there. We were so fortunate to find him.
And the feeling is universal. Every parent can identify with the feeling.
Horrible.
Right. Absolutely. Nancy, thanks for the call. From the text line, my parents lost me when I was 5 at the Milwaukee State Fair. I am 59, but I still remember it. I lost my 3-year-old at Kohl's. He always hid in the clothes rack. I lost my 2-year-old in the backyard. She crawled under the tomato plants, and I couldn't see her.
What a picture.
Right. JCPenney, Woodfield Mall. 3-year-old son vanished. We hunted and hunted, and were on our way to security when on a hunch I went to the sporting goods department. He was happily sitting in a tent. 312-981-7200. My daughter used to like to hide in the clothes racks. Cute. My husband lost our 3-year-old on a pier at Lake Geneva fishing. Joanne, you had 2 kids at a time go missing.
Yes, this is Goldblatt's about 45 years ago.
Okay.
I'll say.
With my mother. So we're on the second floor looking at whatever, and she decides, well, I'll go here, look, and you go there. I says, okay. So we're looking at separate racks of schmatas, and we see each other again, and I says, you got Sean? No, you got him. That was it. I'm already racing to the escalator, and over the intercom it comes, we have a little lost boy.
There you go.
Exactly what it was.
There you go.
Picked him up at will call. Oh my god.
We've got him on layaway.
Yeah, gallbladder.
There you go. Joanne,
have a nice day, ladies.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If I could turn back time. Perfect, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Ferguson.
Yeah, if I could turn back time on what I said, it would be ever so much better. I would have kept my mouth shut or said it nice, more nicely.
Or thought, don't say this. Don't say that.
So, Mom.
Even though you, I'm not going to tell you what mine were, but they
you
have.
You aren't?
No, but they have both occurred in the last 2 weeks because I think the people that to whom I said them might be listening. And I just don't want to do it. I just don't. So,
oh, but they'll know you feel terrible. That's good.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, you don't
but
want
yes,
them to know you feel
I
terrible.
I can remember exactly where I was. And once I said, I thought, oh, crap. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. That's absolutely not what I meant.
Well, I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
Mine was, and call us at 981-7200, 312-981-7200 with your story of what you said. And, oh, my God. You still couldn't remember it, and you still really wish you hadn't said it. I was walking the dog one night. It was nearing Christmas time, and one of the people in the condo where I live had decorated their porch all in red lights and was upstairs. It was winter, but a lot of people grill in winter, and, you know, he was upstairs grilling, and I said, wow, Tom, it's just easier. Wow, Tom, your place looks like the hooker part of Amsterdam.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, there's no mistake. You can't say, oh, that's not what I meant.
I didn't yell it up two floors. So I don't see this person too often, but it was a ridiculous remark to have made. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, there was a meeting, an HOA meeting, and all I could think was, this man will never speak to me
right.
again.
Right.
Couldn't have been nicer.
Oh.
So then I thought, you know, do I apologize for having said that 4 years ago?
Oh, no.
And
no.
then I thought, well, that just draws attention to it, you know. Let him
right.
continue to hate me for the rest of my life.
Right.
What made me say that?
I don't know.
It was so red.
and lighty.
And, you know, and you know how the red light district in Amsterdam is all lit up with,
right.
with redness.
Red lights and redness, yes.
Right. And so it was just one of those things where I even came home and I just thought,
312,
I have to go to bed.
312-981-7200 is our number. Can you remember the thing that you said that you look back at and go, oh, or at the, generally, it's at the time.
What do you mean? When?
Well, while you're saying it, that you're going, oh, crap. No, I shouldn't be saying this. How do I take it back? So give us a call at 312-981-7200 and tell us what was your occasion. Who did you say it to?
How long ago was it? Like if it was, if somebody has a 30 year ago or one, see that's.
Because those are the ones that absolutely.
And the story I read.
You can't shake it.
It was the long shelf life. Of the, oh, I wish I didn't say it remark.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, here.
This is Scott.
Hold on a second. We'll get Scott up here. Hey, Scott.
Hi.
Hi.
How long ago did this happen?
Well, I'm Scott Schumacher.
What? Your phone's cutting out.
Oh, okay. Here.
Stand still or drive still.
Just stop on the highway.
Okay. Did you say you're Scott Schumacher?
Yes.
From Rolling Meadows High School.
Yes.
I was just there yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So I was the best man at my brother's second wedding. And I sang at the wedding and I gave a toast at the reception. And then they said, oh, Scott, get up there and sing. Sing a song for him at the reception. And I had a couple drinks. And I got up and I said, this song is for Ralph and Mary Kay. That's his first wife's name.
Oh.
Did everybody groan?
What? No, nobody said anything. I just breezed through it and then just stopped. started singing. So she makes a beeline out of the reception room. I said, geez, I just dedicated a song to them. Why is she leaving? I got done, and then my other brother said, boy, you covered that really well. I said, what? He said, you said the first wife's name. I said, no, I didn't. I didn't even know I did.
That's wow. That's what the liquor will do to you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Does she talk to you now?
I did somebody in the video store once and said, wow, so you're pregnant. And she said, no, I'm just fat.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. You never mention that unless...
They do.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for the call. Glad you're listening.
This is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
I'm too.
Laura?
Yes, hello?
Hi. What did you say that you regret?
And how long ago was it?
Oh, guys, it was so long ago, and I still remember it to this day.
Like so long ago, like 20 years?
Yeah, yep. Okay. My son was in kindergarten, and he was enamored with, like, trucks and, you know, building and lawnmowers and all that. Well, I was talking to my landscaper, who was very successful and has a great job, and I said, oh, gee, my son wants to either be a garbage man or a landscaper. I said he sets his goals really high, and the guy looked at me. I said, no, I mean he wants to just cut grass or, you know, be a garbage man. And he looked at me like I was it was very embarrassing.
I'll bet.
Is he still your landscaper?
Didn't mean it that way, but he's still our landscaper, so I guess he forgave me.
Okay. No kidding. All right, Laura, thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay. This is Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
How long ago? We're doing well, and how long ago did this happen?
This actually happened 2 days ago.
Oh, so the shelf life is really pretty raw. Fresh.
Yeah. This happens normally to me, though. I have no filter, so.
Okay. So what happened?
Well, I just started a job a week ago, and so I was going through training 2 days ago, and my supervisor, amazing lady, right? She loves talking.
Well, I hope she's listening because, you know, anything you say here is not going to flatter us, and you need it badly for whatever you said, I can tell.
Oh, I felt horrible. I felt horrible immediately after.
What'd you say?
She was talking and messing around. She's like, I'm old. And it just flew out. I was like, yeah, you are.
And
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. She shot me this look, and I was like, well, I have siblings older than you. And she's like, that doesn't help.
Yeah, see, the more you try and patch it up, the deeper you get.
Oh, my gosh. I still have the job at least, though.
Well, for 2 days, anyway.
Well, honey, it isn't Monday yet.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
Right. No kidding. All right. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks.
All right. Now, Jane's embarrassing moment goes back 30 years.
I knew we'd get something like this.
It was 30 years ago. This in 86, this happened.
My
oldest daughter graduated from high school. And we had this lovely high school party and invited friends to come. And we had some friends that came all the way from Iowa, and it was like a 3-hour drive. And I greeted with them, oh, my goodness, I can't believe, no, I can't even say it right because I can't remember. What in the world are you doing here? And I meant, I'm so glad to see you. I can't believe you came all this way. But it came out like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, that's
and how did they respond?
To this day, I remember that.
How did they respond?
They just kind of looked at me with this, you know, well, we wanted to come. And I thought,
just drove 3 hours to get to your damn party.
Exactly.
I'm taking that Spidel watch back.
Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome.
312-981-7200. When you said something, who you said it to, what the circumstances were,
and how long ago it really happened.
Son, all I got to say is I wish I had not done it my way.
I wish I had not have said it.
It just came out of my mouth. We're talking to you about remarks you wish you hadn't made and how long they have been haunting you. And this is Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. How are you today?
All right. How are you?
What'd you do at a party? You said something.
Well, this was about 12 to 15 years ago.
And we had some very dear friends that we'd golf with every weekend, and they had just spent a boatload of money redoing their backyard, their pool, their lighting, their rocks. I mean, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And I walked in and said, oh, my, I feel like I'm at the Holiday Inn.
Ouch, ouch, ouch,
ouch. Ouch, I just, and then the whole party got quiet, and I just wanted to crawl out of there in my hands and knees.
I'll bet. And you still can't forget it.
No, I can't forget it, but we still golf with them, so I guess it's okay.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, Four Seasons would have been the solution, but yeah,
right.
It's too bad. Yeah,
thanks, Kathy.
Okay.
And this is Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I have found that I am no good under stressful situations like at wakes and funerals.
Oh, we have another call coming from a funeral, so yeah, hit it.
Oh, my gosh. My husband's best friend's wife passed away unexpectedly. And, you know, he was very stressed, and it was, you know, it was like a holiday, an event in his life that, you know, his birthday was that day that he's at this wake.
Right.
And it's just horrible. And, you know, I feel terrible. I'm usually a pretty empathetic person. And he's like, I just wish this, you know, I could just, everybody would just go away, you know. And I said, well, I had some gassy type foods earlier this morning, so I probably could clear this room in 3 seconds or less.
Nice, Lisa, nice.
And walked away. I'm like,
I thought you were going to say,
mortified.
I thought you were going to say you said happy birthday.
No.
Okay.
So much worse.
Oh, God.
Lisa, thank you. And this on the text line. I was at a senior picnic/beer party on the North Quad at Notre Dame right before graduation, and I said to Father Ted Hesburgh, president of the university, that he had great shoulders. I have been sick to my stomach about that for 40 years.
And I did a similar thing to the last week at the Walk of Fame. I was talking to Dennis Fitzsimons, who had been the grand
CEO,
boss
here, right, right,
of the Tribune, and he was standing next to this guy who's cute, but I didn't know him, and so I turned and I said, hi, I'm Judy Markey, and he goes, I'm Larry Wirt. That is the CEO now. My
of
foot
Tribune
remains
Media.
In my
right.
mouth
yeah.
with that one.
All right, here's one. I'm a 58-year-old male. I had a best friend in my teenage years whom I hadn't seen for a year or two and decided to drop by his house on a whim. I got inside. I saw both of his siblings and some other family members. And I said, what is this, a family reunion? He said, no, my mom passed away.
Ooh.
Oh, God. This is Sandy. Another funeral-related moment.
Hello.
Hi, Sandy.
Girlfriend. The husband of my mother-in-law's best friend, sadly, had accidentally shot himself in the chest when he was cleaning his gun. And so my mother-in-law and I and my two-year-old that I was holding were going to the receiving line. We got to his wife, and she kind of poked at his belly, my son's belly, and she's like, oh, cute little bit. Oh, look, there's a little hole in your belly. I said, better than a hole in the head. And I'm like, oh my God, I just said that.
Oh.
And my mother-in-law shot me a look, and I'm like, keep moving. Just go.
tap dance.
How long ago?
Oh, my. And that was 15 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah,
still,
that's a bad one.
Still there. Right.
Yeah, still there.
That's okay. Right. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Okay. This is Glenn. Hi, Glenn.
Hi there.
Hi.
So tell us.
Yes. I was in a play back in college.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been reviewed by the local newspaper, and I had a fairly small part, but I skimmed the review and saw they mentioned my name and favorably, and they also mentioned how great the play was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just blurted out, wow, that's what I call a great review. And not realizing that they had slammed our leading man who was sitting right next to me.
Because you skimmed and you didn't read it.
And all you knew was that they said you were good.
Yeah, this tiny little part. And I still remember it said, like, you know, his performance makes us wish he'd had a bigger role.
Oh, wow. Ouch. And how long ago, Glenn?
Oh, my God, like 27 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, there you go.
Okay,
so you
yeah,
still,
they stick around.
Still
they stick
remember
around.
It. And this is Cammie.
Hey,
this
Cammie.
Happened at your wedding.
Yeah.
How long ago?
About five years ago.
Okay.
My husband and I got married in Jamaica. And we, a couple months later, finally decided to have a little shindig. But we told people, please don't dress up. It's just come comfortably. But then everybody wants to dress to the nines. It was, you know, it's a wedding reception. So our best man's dad brought his longtime girlfriend. And I was standing there talking with people and a couple cocktails. And I looked at her and I said, thanks for not dressing up.
Thanks for not what?
Thank you for not dressing up.
Oh, because everyone else did and she didn't?
Yeah, she just was in a comfortable, you know, slack outfit that wasn't like a dress or this fancy or anything.
I don't think that's that bad.
Why is that so terrible?
I don't know. I think my husband just kind of was a little embarrassed because he was standing there with me.
Ah.
Well, he must be easily embarrassed.
I don't think that was bad. Is she still around?
Oh,
she's
still
the girlfriend?
And did she marry your dad?
Well, this was my my husband's cousin's dad.
Oh, okay.
So it's you know, his side of the family relation.
Okay.
That was his side. I wouldn't worry about it.
We're forgiving you right now, Cammie. Let it go.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is Pam. Yes, Pam.
Hi. I was at a funeral about 10 years ago, and I was all by myself, and I get to the front of the receiving line, and there was all these siblings and in-laws and mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, and I was just a little nervous because I only knew one person, and they're introducing me. This is my brother-in-law. This is my, and I was like, oh, have a nice day. And I was like,
it wasn't that long ago in the last couple months we talked about things that are said at funerals and how people are so uncomfortable that you wind up saying, have a nice day. Probably you're not the first one who ever said that.
Yeah, and I have a twofer because I have a big mouth. I was working at night at a fabric store, and I'm always nosy. What are you making? What are you buying this material for? And she had a maternity pattern, and I said, oh, a maternity dress. I said, when are you due? And she says, I'm not pregnant. And I said, oh, I know, I hate that. I just had my baby 6 months ago, and I haven't lost that last, you know, couple pounds.
Oh, and she said, I didn't have a baby.
No, she goes, my youngest is 20.
Oh.
And I'm like, Ouch.
Dancing as fast as you can.
I had to finish up the sale and get out of there.
Yeah, so, I'll bet.
Pam, thank you.
Thank you, Pam. This is Lance. Hi, Lance.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Okay. Good. What was your cringe moment?
I was at a wedding about 20 years ago, and I just started dating this new lady. And I introduced her to my friends with my old girlfriend's name.
Oops.
And the way that I knew I did it, she asked me, she was very nice about it. She said, what did you call me? And I said, what did I say? And she mentioned the old girlfriend's name, which she did not know.
And so you knew you really did it. Yeah, yeah.
There
yeah.
you go. Is she still your girlfriend, Lance?
Oh, no, that was 20 years ago.
Okay.
But real quick, I had a friend of mine that I haven't seen in about 20 years, and I ran across him in a grocery store. And we were talking, and these words came out of my mouth. I said, life sure took its toll on you. And I was just horrified that I said that.
No kidding. I imagine the...
I just wish I could find him and apologize to him. I feel so bad that I said that.
Life sure took its toll on you.
I surely said those words, and it's horrible.
There you go, Lance.
This is very sexist, but I say better to say that to a man than to a woman who will be in therapy the next day.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Lance. This from the text line. At the wake of the father of one of my husband's friends, my husband asked how old the deceased was. His friend said that his dad was 72, to which my husband replied, oh, that's a good age. You're looking for anything to say. You're just so uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
312-981-7200 is our number. This is Annie. Hi, Annie.
There's no dearth of these.
Right.
Hi.
Annie, hi. What's your story?
My father passed away about 5 years ago, and I was, people were coming through the line at the wake, and there was a lady that came through that looked familiar, and she was a friend of my mom's, and so I probably hadn't seen her in about 10 years. She moved away from our small town about 10 years previously because her husband had cheated on her, had an affair with someone else. And so she came through the line and she got to me, and I gave her a hug, and she looked at me and said, "Do you remember, you know, who I am?" And I go, "Oh, yeah, you're Lauren." Lauren was the name of the woman who her ex-husband had the affair with. And then I immediately realized what I had said, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." She goes, "Oh no, it's fine." You know, she's like, "I'm, you know, Katie." And I go, "Yes, I remember you." I go, "I'm so sorry." She goes, "Oh, don't worry about it." So,
but you still
cringe every time I think about it.
Exactly. You think of it, and then you just make yourself crazy with regret over something that you can't change. We're Kathy and Judy, 312-981-7200. Kodachrome. Gosh, I remember Kodachrome.
I heard
long before we took pictures with our iPhones.
I heard Paul Simon being interviewed yesterday.
I did too.
And did you hear when he said, "How come you don't have another reunion?" He says, "Frankly, we don't get along."
We don't get along, right. He says, "We've done two of them and we're not going to do any more." So that's what this is about. It's about photographs. And I acknowledged up front, I am highly insecure, highly embarrassingly insecure. Myself. So a couple weeks ago, we posted a picture. I think Kristen took it or Samantha took it. On what's that, on Snapchat or one of those where you can flip the faces?
Mm-hmm.
And it flipped my face into Judy's and vice versa. It's before I had my hair cut. And there were several comments about, "It looks like Kathy needs Judy's hairdresser," or something like that.
Where was all this?
This on the page where this was posted. There was more than one. There was more than one about basically saying your hair looked a lot better than mine. So, you know, I tried to, you know, shake it off. And then we went to Garfield Park Conservatory for our remote a couple Saturdays ago. And again, before I had my hair cut. And I looked at pictures of from there and went, "Oh, my God, my hair is thinning and my hairline is going back further. And it just, it was so evident in these pictures. I was so self-critical and so insecure about it. So I went and got my hair cut. And then we had the Walk of Fame.
And had your cut hair.
I had my cut hair, which was fine. It looked fine. It was pretty brand new. But I had a dress on that looked really cute at home. But in the pictures of the Walk of Fame, it looked like somebody had stuck an air pump in me and blown me up.
Oh, God, Kathy, you
are
hard on yourself.
I know. So I'm basically back on Weight Watchers, and I got my hair cut. I'm still making friends with my new haircut, but I'll post a picture. Judy and I had our picture taken together. My hair and Judy's hair are not that much different now. We're both short. But when did you ever look at a picture of yourself and say, "Oh, my gosh, I either have to take off weight, start coloring my hair again"? What? You're raising your hand, Miss Markey?
I am, Miss O'Malley.
Yes.
Ms. O'Malley.
Yes.
That experience happened to me when I saw those pictures of me at Garfield Park.
Uh-huh.
And my king-size boobs. They need to be hauled in and pressed away.
I never even noticed your king-size boobs, and I
am wearing a D now.
Wow!
And I'm short. So it's like a, you know,
you
a fire plug that
how's
has adjustments. I'm trying to have good posture without sticking my chest out, and in which case I would curve my shoulders forward. I go convex. But that's bad posture, and I need all the height I can get.
Right.
So the same ones that made you crazy, where people were saying something about your
hair, right? Yeah.
It made me crazy because of these girls I'm hauling around.
That is totally new to me. I never noticed it, and I never heard you express concern about it. But 312-981-7200 is our number. What was the photograph that you looked at and went, "Holy crap, I need to take off weight. I need to get a new hairstyle. I need to start coloring my hair again.
Is this why you took our picture this morning?
Yes, I need to not stand next to my mother-in-law at another picture. Whatever. 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us. Yeah, that's why I had Maria Elaine take our picture.
Why? So is it on the Facebook?
No, I didn't put it up yet. I didn't put it up yet, but I had our picture taken.
Did you like one of the pictures?
Yeah, it was okay. I mean,
well, I saw it on the you know, while it was still in the photo.
Your boobs don't look that big in it. Do you think your boobs look that big in it? You have a scarf in front of them.
Well, that could make, yeah, they don't look that, they don't look as big as they looked in the on the other one.
Okay.
I
well,
mean,
yeah, 312-981. Yeah, I still look heavy, but that's not my biggest concern with this one. But what was the photo of yourself that you looked at and decided, I need to make a very big change?
Look at this photograph. Every time I knew it makes me laugh.
We're talking about the photograph that you looked at and went, oh my God. Oh my goodness, I have to make a big change. Kay, what was your moment?
Well, my son got married a year ago, June 6th, and mm-hmm. I knew I was heavy, but I refused to look at the mirror other than from my chin up. And so we had our pictures done. A week later, everybody left. I said, that's it. Everything was uncomfortable. I joined Weight Watchers at 5:30 at night on June 15th. Around Veterans Day, my son posted a picture of my husband and I and him, and he was, you know, happy about his dad being a veteran and all this kind of stuff. And I go, oh my God, that picture is awful. At that point, I had lost about 30 pounds. So I had to repost an updated picture so that people could see that I had changed.
All right.
That was
a year ago.
45 pounds.
How much?
45 pounds since June.
Wow.
15th.
Wow. So you feel better about it. But it was looking at a photograph from the wedding that make you say, now I got to take some action.
We got to redo all these pictures.
Okay. I have to tell you a story that's really sort of similar to you. I mean, I don't know if you really redid the pictures. You did.
No, she just said she wishes.
Have a friend whose husband was very portly at the time of their marriage. And he went on whatever diet. And he dropped a whole chunk of weight, mm-hmm. and she completely restaged their wedding pictures.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
She did.
Wow.
And it made her really happy.
Very interesting. So. Well, you know, we have a text that's not dissimilar to your story. Seeing myself in a picture at my daughter's wedding, black grandma dress, joined Weight Watchers and lost 50 pounds. That's from a girlfriend in the 630. So you're not alone, Kay. Congratulations.
Oh, I know.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Thanks. This
so
is
long.
Sandy. You looked at a picture and said, oh, my gosh.
Hello, girls.
Hello, Sandy.
This was about a year ago that I've been coloring my hair myself, and I'm normally a very light brunette. Well, I thought I'm going to go lighter, and each time I went lighter and lighter. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, I'm the blonder I can go, the better. You know, it'll really last longer. And last summer, we had a picture of my five siblings and I lined up by a boathouse. And I saw the picture about, oh, maybe a couple weeks later. And I thought, who's that blonde woman in between my brother and my sister? And it was me. I thought, oh, my God, I didn't even recognize myself. It was ridiculous.
Isn't it funny? You probably looked in the mirror that morning several times.
And what color did you think your hair was?
Well, I knew it was light, and I, you know, it just looks different outside for some reason in a picture than in a mirror inside. And I never really saw myself as other people did outside in the bright, you know, sun. And
I had that. I had the same thing.
Yeah.
But my hair turns red. And like inside, what color is my hair, Kath?
It's sort of frosted. It's a little bit red, but blonde as well.
And brown?
Not a lot of brown.
Really?
No, why? What do you think?
I want it to be like brownish with highlights.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
it's got a lot of red in it.
Yeah. It's hard to know what color you are after a while, and I just keep looking at my eyebrows trying to match that. But I immediately went to a darker, more natural thinking, who did I think I was that, you know, none of my siblings are
well, and sometimes, sometimes as we get older, if you do your hair too much darker, that's a dead giveaway.
Yes, yes.
You right.
It's a fine line, Sandy, a fine line.
There you go. Thank you, Sandy.
Good luck.
A lot of callers, and most of them are women, but Matt's not. Hi, Matt.
Hi, ladies. First-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, great. You looked at a picture of yourself in Hong Kong.
Yes, I was in Hong Kong in college for a couple of weeks, all across China, actually, a couple of weeks in 2012. And I, you know, college, you eat a lot. You work a lot in the library. It's not like you exercise a whole lot. I literally spent half of my graduate life in the library. So I gained, I weighed about 200, 208, something like that. And then every day I'd head home after I graduated, I'm like, I'm going to lose this weight. I never did. And then I looked at this picture, and it was like, if you look at me from the front, I didn't look any different. If you look at me from the side, it all just came jutting out. And I was like, oh, good God.
I know what you mean.
So what'd you do?
I literally, it drove my parents crazy because I was still living at home. I would eat nothing but chicken, fish, fruits, veggies, eggs, and sushi. And that was it for like 3 years. But in those first 4 or 5 months, I lost 50 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And have you kept it off,
so
Matt?
Better.
Because that's
hard
part.
I'm brutal. If I ever go back to that weight again, I will personally come to that station and let Rokon make fun of me.
Well, you know what? I think you need, I think for many of us, it's just, there's a number. And when you hit that number, that's your alarm bell. Because there's a show on TV called My 600-Pound Life that I can't watch for more than 5 minutes.
Why? What's the premise?
It's about people who weigh 600 pounds or more. And you look and think, wasn't there a point when you thought, I got to stop? And I have my number, which I surpassed about 3 or 4 pounds ago. And I think, do you have a number, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm at about 155. But realistically, if I go anywhere above 165, I'm like, oh, God, I have to get
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'10".
That's pretty lean, Matt.
Yeah, I know, but when your mother walks by you and says, oh, what a big belly, it kind of gets in your head.
Matt, please tell us you don't live with your mother still.
He did. He does.
You still live with your mother?
And we're going to talk about that in the next half hour.
No. I moved out.
Okay. All right.
Well, if my mother said that to me, I'd move out too.
I just, whenever she sees me, she likes to go, oh, what a big belly.
Oh, what a nice mom.
Anyway, look, ladies, you ladies are fantastic, and I'm so happy I discovered you guys, and I'm going to be listening to you every Saturday.
Bless your
heart.
Thank you, Matt. We're glad you called. This is Barbara, who looked at a picture and said,
I'm still thinking tall.
What?
What, Barbara?
I could not believe how tall I was.
Barbara, we got a really bad connection. Do you know why that is?
Oh, maybe I'm in speaker. Is that better?
There you go.
Yeah, that's a lot
better. There
you go.
All right. So you looked at a picture of yourself. What was the circumstance?
I was at a wedding.
Uh-huh.
And I'm 5'9". I've always been 5'9". And I didn't realize 5'9 and 2-inch heels made me toweringly taller than everyone else. And I noticed every time it was a movie, and every time I went to kiss somebody, I had to bend down at the waist to kiss people. And I just realized, oh, my gosh, I'm so tall. I had no idea.
You can't do anything about that.
Well, right, but I didn't realize how tall I was. Seriously, I didn't realize that was that tall. And I guess I didn't realize everyone was so short.
How old were you at the time you made this realization, Barbara?
I was about 25.
Okay, so, but now you know you're tall.
Okay, so...
Right now, well, then for a long time, I started walking through door jams and, like, measuring up to the door jam, or I'd walk by my cubicle and I'd see how tall other people were compared to me to the cubicle.
Right.
Yeah, I just couldn't get a handle on it. I was pretty tall.
That's funny, but it was a picture at a wedding that made you realize it.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, you know, the good news is, when you start to get older, you'll shrink.
Yeah, down to 5'8".
Very good.
Thank you, Barbara. And finally, this is Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
What was the picture that made you cringe?
Well, I was at a fair with my roommate from college and her children, and I had bought a white jumpsuit.
In 2016.
No, this was about 20 years ago.
In the ABBA years.
I thought I looked fantastic. And I got the picture back, and honest to God, I looked like a beached whale.
And so you what?
I threw the jumpsuit out.
I threw the jumpsuit out and never wore it again, and I thought, this is just crazy. But how could I look in the mirror in the store and think, wow, do I
what
look
a good
bad,
eye. Right.
And look just like a beached whale.
So did you start doing anything about the basic weight, regardless of what you're wearing?
Oh, yes. Now I am you know, in my 70s, and I do yoga. And
oh, there
that
you go.
That has helped me tremendously keep the weight down and help my balance and help everything.
Oh, that's great.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I just need to know, because I haven't done yoga for 3 months. Uh-huh. How many times a week are you doing it?
Twice a week.
Oh.
And I just feel so much better. So I encourage you to get back into it, Judy.
I know, Mom.
Cheery.
Yes.
I have an issue when I have tried yoga a couple times.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why, or if this is a universal issue, but yoga makes me fart.
Oh.
Is that...
Well, it makes us all fart, but we all farting together, so who cares?
So I'm not alone in that.
Well, you're in positions that might lead you to be susceptible.
Right.
And so we just fart away, and who cares?
Okay.
We just say,
Thank you, Jerry. We're kids in America, and a third of us are
here.
Living with our parents.
And not because they want to, obviously. I don't think it's as much the thing where they're saving money for an apartment or whatever. I think there's not a lot of jobs that kids are getting more part-time jobs now than ever before. And I don't know that they really make enough while they're working to pull off living with somebody else. But anyway, the fact of the matter rests, that's the number. A one-third of kids are living with their parents.
Young adults.
And it's amazing, because we had talked about this for years and have been very sort of castigating of parents who let their kids back in. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago whose kid had just returned, a 22-year-old kid. And she was saying that
the mom,
as long as this child was living in the house, she was still making the rules. And she gave this kid a curfew and a mandate that they had to take Uber. They could not have the car.
They couldn't do public transportation?
They could do public transportation, but she lives out of the city. So, you know, it's sometimes hard to get the last train to Brooklyn.
But she wouldn't allow her to use the car.
No, because mm-hmm. they were coming in and drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that old thing?
Yeah. Okay.
So I just wondered, I mean, we just talked to Matt, who has recently moved out of his house. He's been out of college for 4 years, so he's a millennial. He's 26. What rules either your parents have made if you're living at home, and whether you have no rules, if it's laissez-faire, you know, you don't have to do anything. I go back to when my then college-age son, came home, and I just thought, he was out till the middle of night all the time. I lived in the city at the time, so there was no worry about transportation, and a lot of his buddies crashed at my house, and I had no idea what time they came in. I mean, I didn't know what difference it made.
Right.
So I was pretty laissez-faire.
Well, he was an adult.
Right, except for the fact he had exactly TikTok 6 months. That was my only rule.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think a lot of the kids that are living there with parents really don't like it. You know, yeah, it's a softer life, maybe, but there's a lot of tension. I mean, when Matt said just in the last half hour, you know, his mom gives him grief about his belly.
Right.
A person could live without that. That would be a good thing for, you know, to avoid.
A person's self-esteem.
Right. And so it would be interesting to hear what sort of limitations, or if no limitations, you've put on your kid's life. Now, this is Larry. Hey, Larry.
I think Larry is still talking to David.
Okay. All right. Larry's living at home.
Right.
Okay.
And here we go. Hey, Larry.
Hi.
What's your story?
Back in 1978, I was discharged from the Army, and I moved back in with my mother. I had nowhere else to go, really. I left my mother's home to go into the Army, and when I got back, I was kind of staying out late and doing things, and she told me that, you know, this is my house, and you have to live by my rules. And you know, I had an 11 o'clock curfew.
Oh, God. That's like high school.
Had you been fighting? Are you on a bike or something? Or close your windows, Larry, because we're getting a lot of wind. Thank you.
Larry, we lost
you. I gave him an order and he went away.
You certainly did.
Well, yeah. He'd been in the Army. He ought to know.
Well, I think in 1978. Well, I don't know how different that was than it is nowadays. I don't know. You and I have been on the air about 25 years, and I remember from early on when we were first on the air in the 90s that was one of our crusades, that we both felt strongly about young people graduating from high school or college or whatever and getting out on their own and being independent. Now, wait a minute. Here we have Larry again. Hi, Larry.
Larry?
Hi. Well, anyway, I had the 11 o'clock curfew thing going, and I told her, I says, well, if I'm old enough to defend my country, and you know, God was willing to allow me to live.
You invoked God to get rid of a curfew? That was a really desperate move.
You know, but yes. But she said, no, this is my house, and you will live by my rules. So the first night that I broke the curfew, she was waiting up for me, and she talked to me for about an hour. And then the second night that I broke the curfew, I came, and the screen door was locked. Okay, I could not get into the house.
What'd you do?
I slept in my car. And then when I came home from work the next day, all of my stuff was packed up and on the front porch, including she gave me an electric fry pan and some dishes and cups and silverware. And she says, you need to find somewhere else to live because you're not living by my rules. And
okay, Kathy's nodding her head thinking this is the greatest. And I think your mother is really strict. I mean, I think your mom should have just loosened things up a bit.
I moved in with my stepsister, and her husband had a garage that they just converted into an apartment, and I moved in there, and I never organized any parties, but I had a party every night. There were people just showed up, and finally they kicked me out.
Well, I don't blame them.
And I had nowhere else to go, so I went back to my mother, and I said, Mom, I will live by your rules. And I did. She allowed me to move back.
For how long?
I was in probably about 2 years. I met a girl and fell in love. I was a medic in the service, and I was going to go to school to become a registered nurse, and then from there maybe bridge over to become an anesthesiologist. But I met a girl and fell in love, and I ended up, I had a job working in a plumbing supply house, and I ended up staying there. And to this day, I'm still working for that company. That was 37 years ago.
Okay, now weren't you making enough money to move out before 2 years?
And get your own apartment?
I actually was not. I was at first I was not, but after the two, you know, the additional 2 years allowed me to do that. And we ended up moving into a cooperative in Park Forest. It was really reasonable. It was $198 a month for a two-bedroom co-op, and this is like a six unit, so there's six other families living with you. And it was $198 a month, and the only thing that I had to worry about was mowing the grass, which was a patch about 2 foot by 3 foot,
mm-hmm.
and everything else. If the front porch light bulb burned out, I called them up, and they came out and they replaced the bulb.
That's how it works.
Thanks,
there you go. Thank
lot,
you,
Larry.
David or Larry.
All right,
we'll be back with
Larry
more.
David,
we'll be back with more calls at 312-981-7200.
Coming home, and do you have rules? Do you not? There are moms out there setting curfews for 22-year-olds, and this is Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, fine. What's your story?
My story is at 42, I got laid off, and I was here in the Midwest, and my mom and dad live in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
They're immigrants, so there was no reading of rules. You knew the rules. And I stayed with them for a long time, and in with immigrant families, you know, families move in and out all the time, and I guess I get away as get more Americanized, but
they didn't mind having you, and they didn't give you rules.
No, I didn't have
to give
you rules. I knew them already.
What were they?
You're
a 42-year-old man.
Clear your own plate?
Well,
what?
Well, I grew up in that home, so you knew what the rules were.
I know you keep saying that, but what are some of the rules?
Well, they would, you couldn't stay up past 10. I mean, you couldn't make any noise past 10. You could move around the house and do stuff, but after 10, if you do that too many times, they'd did a riot act. My daughter stayed with me for a while, and we had to get her moved out of the home. Have a lot of fun. That was the wrong place to have a lot of fun.
Okay.
Wow.
Going home, the wrong place to have fun.
So you're in your own place now, Dave?
Oh, I had my own place then. I had my own home. I had property.
Why were you there?
I got laid off. Yeah. I had a home here in Illinois. The thing was, is I had to get laid off. I started a new career. And fortunately, I had my mom and dad. They helped me out.
Okay.
I went back to D.C. where the job prospects were a lot better, and I started as an apprentice electrician, and now I'm an electrical contractor here.
Okay.
In the
All right. So you're on your own now.
I've always been on my own. I had homes when I was with them.
Oh, okay. We're getting off track.
Yeah.
Dave, thank you for calling. We
thanks.
Appreciate it.
This is a mom. This is Ruth. Hey, Ruth.
Hi. Our children, I was telling your producer there, our children range from 50 to 55. And growing up, four boys, they always had the rules. They worked while they were 12, 13, shoveling, cutting grass.
Wait, did they come back to you as adults?
As an adult, our youngest left the house at 20 to go into business, and he was on his own. Our second child graduated from college and lived with us until he got married at 26. Our oldest son, he left after 21. He paid his way through college.
Okay, were there restrictions with the 26, the one who lasted to 26?
The one who left at 21. No, the one who left at 26, he got married.
Now, did you have restrictions with him? That's what we're talking about.
Well, our third son lived with us until he got married at 26.
Got that.
He said the rules of the house, as long as you live in our house, and this was all going.
What were the rules?
And the rules were, whatever you do at college, you do at college. When you're here, you bring your girlfriend home. She has a separate room. You help with the family. Our one son who stayed until he got married, you never had to tell him to do anything.
He was the one who got married at 26.
And did he have a curfew?
Pardon me?
Did he have a curfew?
He did not have a curfew, but I always told them when they came home, they had to
come into the room because I used to stay up for them, and I'd fall asleep just before they got home. So the rule was, when you come home, all you have to do is say, "Mom, I'm home." And after the one got married, he was married 3 or 4 years.
Okay, all right, Ruth, I think we missed the lead. You had 4 sons in 5 years.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Happy days are here again.
Are you Mormon or Catholic?
Catholic.
Okay, there you go.
Right. There you go, Ruth. Thank you. Oh, look what the wind brought in. Producer Beth.
Hello. Beth Swerk, who was our producer. Swerk. From what to what, Beth?
Oh, my
gosh. The years?
Jenny, you're my memory. You should know it. Three to, oh, till, when was the?
When'd you move?
When was your fate? '05.
Oh, that's
no,
right.
Weren't we fired in '09?
We were fired
so
in 09.
So I was your producer 05 to 09.
Okay. All right. So Beth was here for 4 years. A lot of you talked to her on the phone.
And she was the, she currently residing in Palo Alto.
Sausalito.
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 Yep.
She
right.
After That's she right. left here, she went to work for a marketing firm. And then you're still with the same firm, right?
Yep, with a PR agency.
With a PR agency.
Yes.
But you're a boss there, aren't you?
I like to think so. No, no, but it's going really well. So I moved out to California a year ago, which is just crazy.
Is it only a year?
It was a year in March. Yep.
Yeah. And was there a period of time after college when you lived with your parents, when you went back to live with your parents?
I think like 2 months between apartments. I don't think so. Well, maybe like the first summer when I was an intern.
It was not something that appealed to you at any level.
Or them.
There you go.
And
exactly.
They paid you a pittance as an intern. I think that's a zero.
A big fat zero. I think they paid me a big fat zero even when I was full time.
Oh, well, those bosses are gone now.
It's good to see your faces. And
you too.
It's just like a weird little walk down memory lane to be back here and
I know.
In the studio.
Stroll the hallways and in the studio. I'm twitching, yes.
It
makes me happy. And just the friendships, people I still keep in touch with from the station's unbelievable.
Except most of the hallways that were here when you were here are gone.
I know. I just was telling your producer that my office is where people drink beer now.
Right. In the Howells and Hood. Right.
Well, you always like to drink beer. I know. Not as much as wine.
That's true.
Right.
How long are you back for?
I've got a wedding tonight, so through the weekend.
Oh, fun.
Yeah,
all
always
right,
good
great.
To be back and visit.
Let's have lunch together.
Okay, that's
okay,
great.
Okay, what a good idea.
We'll continue the show off the air.
We'll be back after this.
Hey, Amy Guth.
Hello.
Oh, we're wrapping up another Kathy and Judy show. Thanks to David Miranda, our producer, who was sitting in for Kristen Decker today, to engineer Bob Ferguson, and to Veronica Carter, who was doing the news for us. Now to Amy Guth.
Now I can say hello.
Yes, you can. And
that
you
was
said,
cold-blooded, by the way. I'm just sitting up here like,
Sam. Benyatovich.
He who shall not be named.
I even phoneticized my name.
Oh, Sam.
And there's, his name up there?
Yeah, that sports guy. I'm sorry,
huh? Dork with the glasses.
Next year. Next time I'll do it. Okay.
Enjoy lunch.
Yeah, thanks, bitch.
Good times.
Amy said when your dad came back from the Vietnam War.
Yes. He came back from the Vietnam War and went right to his mother's house, my grandmother of blessed memory, and he went out to get a drink and catch up with some friends that evening. And she goes, "Okay, be back by 10." He's like, "I'm out. I'm done. I'm going." And I don't believe he ever lived in that house.
I got a place.
Yeah, I'm gonna figure it out. I'll go.
I got this.
Yeah, he was like, "That's the last thing in the world I need right now."
Right.
So
I've seen things you can't imagine.
Yeah.
Right.